You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Just about. Got another 10 minutes of the morning. Hello. Any football fans in the house? World Cup fans? Yeah? Some of the wives are thinking, thank goodness it's ending, I can have my husband back. Hello. I don't know about you guys, I don't know if you watched a match last night, it was quite a late one, but it was crazy. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? But I mean, it's sad for our boys that it's not coming home this year, but what a way to finish third, hey? And then did you see the prayer huddle at the end? I thought that was quite special, wasn't it? With the two opposing teams, two different countries gathered together, pray. All the social media outlets, everything, everyone's going mad this morning. I was reading about it. But hey, I'm not a football pundit, far from it. So let's crack on with our sermon series. So we've been continuing to look through the book of Colossians. So if you've missed that, go and have a look online. You can, the talks are available via different platforms. In the last couple of weeks, firstly John and last week Philip has been exploring the warnings that Paul has been addressing in chapter 2 of Colossians. Last week Philip, I think, brilliantly explored the defense against legalism, and the lawyer in me really enjoyed that title, diving deeper into the three pitfalls that we need to be aware of, especially when God is on the move, and he has been on the move amongst us and continues to do so. But this week, we're going to explore how we can live with true freedom that is only available to us through Jesus Christ himself. I've titled the talk, The Freedom Paradox, because I think sometimes we can get a little bit confused or stuck in our heads about what this whole newly given freedom actually looks like through Jesus Christ, because we want to continue to live under the rule and reign of God. Martin Luther famously said, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." Hence the paradox. But let's take a moment and think about how much of our lives are shaped by rules. Some of them, you may say, are necessary, like the traffic lights, like some of the workplace expectations, some basic social boundaries. VAR? Mixed on that? No. But others can quietly become something more. Think about our modern lives these days, various different diet trends that we have that they promise a better body if you just to cut out carbs, or apps that measure our worth by productivity streaks, social media standards that tell us what kind of a life is good enough. And without realizing it, sometimes we can feel trapped. Not by chains that we can visibly see, but by expectations that we feel. Sometimes we put these on ourselves, but sometimes others place these expectations on us. The society dictates these. Now, imagine the early church in Colossae. They weren't dealing with the TikTok or the gym culture, but they were facing very similar issues and questions. Human rules disguised as spirituality. People were telling them, if you really want to be close to God, you must follow these extra rules. Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Avoid certain things. And it is into that confusion that Paul writes these words that we're about to read in Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Colossians 2 with me. If not, the words are going to be on the screen. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Paul is exposing something deeply relevant to us today. The danger of confusing rule following with real spiritual life. Let's dive into unpack this a little bit more. Because Paul begins with a powerful statement, since you died with Christ. And it's not just poetic language, it's identity language. Because to the Colossians, dying with Christ meant that their old life, controlled by fear, striving, and external systems was over. They were not supposed to live as though they were still under those same rules. Just to put it simply, if your life has changed, why live like it? Why live like it hasn't? This is what Paul is saying here. Think of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but if you think of someone who's been working in a toxic working environment and they leave their toxic job because they want to start a healthier career, but months down the line, they're still checking emails late at night, they're still afraid of being judged, they're still operating with the stress of that old environment. Nothing is forcing them anymore, but internally, they haven't really left, have they? And that's what Paul is addressing here. The Colossians had been set free, but they were still acting like they belonged to the old system. So what does this mean for us today? Because today we may not hear the do not touch, do not taste in religious settings as loudly, but we hear other versions, I would say. Some of these might be familiar to you. I know they resonate with me. You're only valuable if you're productive. You're only accepted if you look a certain way. You're only successful if your life measures up to certain standards. You've got a certain house, a certain car, a certain career, or you've got a good online presence. And I would say these are our modern elemental forces, basic systems that try to shape our identity and our behavior. And Paul's message is simple, but quite radical. Because he's saying, if your identity is rooted in Christ, you're not defined by those systems anymore. You don't have to keep performing to them. The old system that operated in and out is over. You don't have to put up a front just to fit in. If you don't like matcha, stick with the good old simple latte. Nothing wrong with that. Who cares if they think you're not cool enough? It tastes like grass anyway, I can tell you that. If you have your new identity in Christ as the sons and daughters of Jesus and the living God, then don't live life under the yoke of the old system. If you haven't come from a religious background like me, sometimes it's hard to understand what Paul is referring to here. The whole concept of Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But for people who are coming from a religious mindset like Colossians were of the rules and the rituals, the message of Jesus is enough was too good to be true. Surely we need more. It can't be this simple. Surely I still need to pray 3 times a day at certain points. I still need to look a certain way. But the message of freedom turns the focus of our attention onto Christ. It's not about us or what we do, but what Christ did for us. This is what makes it possible for us to be adopted into the kingdom of God, because Jesus did it all for us. He died on the cross for us. Which brings us to the second point. What Paul is addressing here is that not all spiritual seeming rules lead to real growth. Paul then lists these commands. He says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And at first glance, you might say, actually, these sound spiritual, disciplined, serious. But then Paul goes on to say something a bit more shocking, at least to the Colossians at the time. He goes on to say, these rules are based on merely human commands and teachings. In other words, they may look holy, but they're not from God. Paul goes further and he says, they have an appearance of wisdom. They give the illusion of wisdom. And that phrase matters because sometimes things can look wise without actually being helpful. Let's go back to our wellness culture. If you think about it, there are endless rules promising better health and happiness. I don't know if you've tried any of these. Wake up at 5 a.m. Cold showers or the cold plunge, anyone? No. Cut out entire food groups, follow strict routines without expectation, without exception. Now, some of these might be good in or beneficial in moderation. I've heard the cold plunge has got several health benefits. Not ever going to try that. But they can become rigid and rigid laws that define your worth or spirituality. They can become burdens instead of blessings. Or think about the social media morality. You have to say the right things or you'll be cancelled. Don't associate with certain people or you'll be judged. Follow this exact path and then you'll be considered a good person. And I would say these have become some of our more modern commandments, rarely spoken as rules, but they are deeply felt. Don't get me wrong, Paul isn't against discipline. He's against misplaced authority. When human-made systems are treated as ultimate truth, they distort what real spiritual life looks like. Here's the key takeaway. Not everything that looks spiritual actually leads to transformation. Just because something feels as strict or serious, it doesn't mean that it brings life. Now, I've got first-hand experience of that. Some of you may or may not know, before I met Jesus, I was a Muslim. And in my earlier teens, I, along with my family, went to Mecca on the pilgrimage to do the Hajj. And as part of this, I had to complete this really strict ritual, rigorous, various different things. It was, I think, 10 or 12 things you had to complete. It was different ways of cleansing, different stuff that you had to wear, special clothing. And it's a 24-hour process with very little rest or sleep. It was quite full on. And you hype up, you've got this sense of expectation of what's going to be like at the end of it. And I remember vividly how empty I felt at the end of it all. Because I had this sense of expectation that I was going to feel closer to God, feel even extra holy now that I've completed this whole thing. In fact, so much so that I questioned everything that I had done. I was like, surely I made a mistake along the way. I must have folded that cloth the wrong way. I must have done something. Or I didn't wash my hands in that certain way or something like that. So I did the whole thing again. So I thought, I'm going to get it right this time. And guess what? I just still felt really hollow at the end of it. And that's what really broke me. And it was like that until I met Jesus on that very last day whilst I was on my pilgrimage. And that brings us to understanding that ultimately, external rules cannot change the heart. Paul closes with a very powerful critique. He says, such regulations lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And that's a bold statement because he's saying here, all these rules, they don't really fix the deeper issue here. You might say, why not? Well, because rules really only address the behavior, not the heart behind it. You can follow every rule and still feel anxious, be prideful, struggle internally, judge others and yourself harshly. Because rules may control the outward actions, but they don't transform the inner desires or our hearts. Think of someone who follows that perfect diet. They may even become obsessed with control, anxious about every meal, judgmental towards themselves and towards others. It may even lead to an eating disorder. Or someone who starts to build this flawless online presence, but they may still feel empty and insecure and disconnected inside. But externally, everything looks disciplined. Internally, nothing has changed. And the deeper truth is this. Transformation doesn't come from restriction. It comes from renewal. Paul's message isn't do whatever you want. It's don't rely on rules to do what only a changed heart can accomplish. And I'd say this is perfectly demonstrated by Jesus in Mark 7. The Pharisees, the religious people at the time of Jesus, were stickler for rules. They were conservative Jews who regularly actually often criticized Jesus for everything that he did. He either healed the sick on the wrong day, he either ate the wrong food, hung out with the wrong crowd. So they were just constantly criticizing him because he was not abiding by the letter of the law. And here, the context to Mark 7, the Pharisees start criticizing the disciples actually for eating food with unwashed hands. And we're not talking about a hygiene issue here. We're talking about following a very specific ritualistic ceremonial washing of the hands. And Jesus rebukes the Pharisees quite head on Firstly, he calls them out for twisting the law that was given to them and what it was truly intended for in the first place. And then he calls them hypocrites. And then he goes on to say, and we're picking up from Mark 7, verse 14. It says, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Then he goes on to say to his disciples, we're picking up verse 21, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. They often say when somebody cheats on their spouse that they actually, the affair actually happened several months ago in their hearts. It is all about the heart. And this is why Jesus says in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul and all your mind. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Because when your heart is in the right place, everything else will follow. Seek God, seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. But real life change comes from a relationship with Christ, not a checklist. We may ask, isn't it so much easier just to go with the flow, no rules, no checklists? I don't know about you, but I love a good list. Anyone else? Like ticking as you go along, that sense of satisfaction. Some people love highlighting it, different colours, colour-coded. I love it all. But coming from a religious background and rules and rituals, I know firsthand, sometimes the lists and checklists can give you a false sense of security in terms of your identity and spirituality. And it makes you kind of gloat. And that's what happened to the Pharisees here. They were sticking by the letter of the law. So they were so prideful. They're like, we are the best ones. We've got it all. We've got it all together. And this is why people often fall into the trap of turning Christianity into a religious set of rules. It's easier that way. But what's the alternative? Complete and utter reliance on Jesus through his Holy Spirit. It's a dynamic relationship, but it takes effort because you surrender your all and your everyday to God, and it can be very scary. But waking up every morning at 5 a.m. to pray, or washing my hands in a certain way, or praying the same repeated ritual to God, and kneeling before my bed every night to say the same repeated words will not get me any closer to God and his purposes for my life, because it can be all superficial if it's not from the heart. Just like doing a list of chores every day, cooking, cleaning, doing the shopping, having a weekly meal plan, it doesn't make me grow any closer in my marriage or my relationship to my husband. From the outside, it may look like we've got it all together, everything looks perfect, but the reality could be very different. Spending time with him will do the trick. Consulting with him, speaking with him when I want to make decisions. It's the same with Jesus. It's relational. But it is really harder because you have to be intentional. But it's far more wonderful and exciting. Because even the mundane will become interesting. Because the kingdom of God can break through and change the mundane and the ordinary into extraordinary at any moment. It is all about letting go of control, of the familiarity, and stepping out into the freedom that Jesus has offered us. I think the idea of a prisoner choosing to stay in his cell whilst he's being offered freedom may sound mind-blowing or mind-boggling. But isn't that what we often do, or sometimes do, because we are so fearful of what is waiting for us on the other side? Because if we fully trust Jesus and let go of our securities and rules and rituals, anything could happen. And that's true, yeah, anything could happen, but that includes all the wonderful things that could happen as well. If we were just to let go and let Christ rule our hearts. And don't get me wrong, I'm not naive. Not everything will be perfect. But we know when things don't go according to how we imagined them or how we expected them to turn out, we know that we can still lean on Jesus and trust him, and we know he's going to be there with us in the midst of it all. And this is what frees us from condemnation, from that inner guilt, from the shame that we sometimes carry. In Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." If we were to live by a set of strict rules or laws, then what was the point of what Jesus did for us on the cross? The curtain, the veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies, from the very presence of God, was torn from the top down when Jesus died for us on the cross, so that we can have freedom, to live in freedom with Jesus, to have intimacy with God. This feeds into our kingdom theology, the upside down kingdom that we hold very dearly at the Vineyard. Because we have already been set free because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and because he washed away our sins. And now we must live like it, as opposed to trying to work our way up the ladder of righteousness. Humanity did that for hundreds of years, and guess what? We failed every time. So what does it look like to live freely today, you may say? Because we live in a world that's overloaded with expectations, with advice, with system, with rules for better life, and some of those are helpful, but some may subtly trap us in. So Paul's message invites us into something different. So I'm going to give you 3 pointers. Number 1, examine what's controlling you. Ask yourselves, what rules do I follow without questioning? Where do I feel pressure to perform to prove myself? And am I living from freedom or out of fear? You'd say awareness is the first step toward freedom. Number 2, replace performance with identity. Instead of asking, what do I do to be enough? Ask this, where is my identity rooted? Because if it's rooted in achievement, in image or approval, you will always feel the pressure. But if it's rooted in Christ, you can live with peace and security. And the 3rd one, focus on inner transformation. Instead of relying on the external systems, prioritize honest reflection, authentic relationships. And this is why community and home groups are so key in our walk of discipleship, and we encourage that. Because spiritual growth starts from within. Change the inside and the outside will follow. It's all about freedom over performance. Paul's words to the Colossians are still echo for us today. Why live like you are bound when you've been set free? We don't need more rules to feel alive. We don't need stricter systems to feel secure. And we really don't need to perform our way into acceptance. The invitation is something deeper. To live from identity, not pressure. To pursue transformation, not appearance. And to embrace freedom and not control. So this week, take a step back from the noise. And before you follow the next rule or expectation, I encourage you to ask yourselves this. Is this leading me into freedom or pulling me back into bondage? Because the life we've been given isn't meant to be managed by fear or shame. It's meant to be lived in freedom.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church. Go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.